Hi everyone, Patrick McFarlane here with another Liberty Bigly episode. I hope you guys are doing well and that you've had a good weekend. It's Sunday night currently, and I could use just one more day, possibly. Wanted to share a few thoughts that I've had just about... I've been watching a lot of Vietnam documentaries lately, and documentaries with Vietnam veterans specifically. Where there's a lot of content on YouTube where they sit down and speak with vets about their experience. And I've been trying to frame everything. It all just kind of boggles my mind because I try and put myself in, try to imagine what it would be like to be in that position. And I suppose with veterans of the terror wars, I guess you could say, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and other military conflicts that are a bit more modern, I don't know exactly how to compare that because each generation's experience is different. And of course, I don't have any experience at all with any of this. But when it comes to this prospect of civil unrest and everyone kind of talking about how a lot of people are egging it on and in a way gearing up for or itching for it. And it seems like in all of the media, like the documentary media viewing that I've done and interviews with veterans and reading about conflict and all of that research, it just really seems like this is the lesson that we get over and over again that no one really learns, is that while gearing up to World War I, everyone was super eager for it. And if you watch that, there was this documentary that came out from, maybe I'll watch it tonight, from the Peter Jackson, the guy who did The Lord of the Rings, called We Shall Not Be Forgotten, or something like that. I just can't recall. It came out around the 100-year anniversary, I think, of the end of World War I. And in the beginning, there's the unifying theme of all the journals that they read through, is that all of the young soldiers were really eager to go out and fight in this war. And you see that kind of again in World War II. There were men committing suicide because they couldn't pass their draft physical or they couldn't pass their volunteer physical. And it seems like there's a lot of similarity. I mean, if you wanted to go back a little bit, the experience with the terror wars was very similar after 9/11. You could hear a lot of soldiers. And I would urge everyone to check out my episode, Liberation Library 3, I think it is. I was doing a series where I would review books exclusively. So maybe I should revisit that. But Liberation Library 3, libertyweekly.net/LL3, I think it is I did On Killing, which was a book by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, who's a little infamous for his study of killing. And in a way, I could revisit that whole topic, but Dave Grossman did this book, and he is a consultant where he will teach law enforcement and military how to kill without hesitation. And he does kind of like the warrior cop, these lectures, these consultations, speaking events that he will do. And I guess, you know, if your goal is to enter a situation where it's kill or be killed, you would like to wear down your innate resistance to killing that every human has. So in a way, perhaps he's very accomplished and accredited, which he is, I mean, I think so. But, sorry, I'm just wandering a bit here, but it really, it seems like, you know, a lot of people fantasize and in their own minds, they really dramatize, and I, myself included, you know, people who have not been in that situation. It's like virgins talking about sex, and or it's like people without kids talking about having kids and trying to put yourself in that mindset. It's something that you have no understanding of unless you've been through it. And I guess I would say, you know, in my own experience, being a lawyer is one of those, or having kids is one of those, or studying abroad and visiting a very different culture might be one of those experiences that you have no idea. But certainly killing someone or being in a kill or be killed situation is not something that I have experience with. Or even, I mean, I haven't even been in a situation where, like, an unsafe, possibly violent situation. That's not something that I've been in. But you have these scenarios that you play out in your mind where you fantasize that, you know, like, for instance, I got my concealed carry permit. And I have to say, everyone plans out these situations in their head about how they would act under pressure or in a situation where they would have to use their weapon. And a lot of people have these very grandiose delusions about what they would do in that situation. And they would be the hero, or they would, you know, rise to the occasion. And but you don't consider the real possibility of, okay, even in your hero situation, you shoot and kill another human being. First off, you'd have to overcome your innate, you know, most people, probably 50 or 60% of people wouldn't be able to take that step. I have no basis for that percentage, but a lot of people wouldn't even be able to pull that trigger. Let's say you are one of those people who would pull the trigger or could pull the trigger. You'd probably, even if it was to save your own life, you would probably, it would haunt you for the rest of your life. You would be forever changed. And it seems like a lot of people fantasize and build up the idea of a boog in their mind, or the idea of what a war for revolution would be, or are itching to finally, you know, get into a street fight or brawl or firefight with Antifa or other far left Black Lives Matter, the more militant ones, or looters, or, you know, shooting or defending your home against a rabid crowd, or being in a Kenosha Kyle situation, which is just awful. I mean, I couldn't imagine being in the situation that he was in and being forced to kill people, even with the legal stuff aside. I mean, these people he shot and killed, and the one he maimed, pretty bad people, all things considered. However, I would still kind of feel awful about it. But bringing everything back to this point that I was making about Vietnam and watching these documentaries, is that I think if a lot of people are building this up in their mind, and perhaps, you know, I know that there's a fair amount of people in the liberty movement or in the Boogaloo community or Boog adjacent folks who are soldiers, who actually have been in combat, and they know what they're talking about a bit. You know, they've maybe been in Iraq or Afghanistan, or, you know, maybe even people who've listened to this show. And if you do, send me some voicemail and tell me that I'm totally wrong, because I'd actually like to be more in the know, or corrected, I suppose, about this. But it really, I don't know, if you've been in that situation, because it seems like there are people who are in these communities who do know what they're talking about, and perhaps they're kind of itching for a fight, but they've seen how terrible it is. And I understand in some situations, everyone acts different, but you could also become addicted to firefights or addicted to the adrenaline rush or the danger of the situation. Or, I mean, I could maybe, I could understand getting addicted to carrying a gun all over the place and like shooting a lot. Maybe not at other people, but shooting guns is really fun. It's really cool, enjoyable activity. And I suppose it'd be even more enjoyable if someone was shooting back with a danger element to it. I guess I use the term enjoyable very a complex situation. Watching some documentaries like Combat Obscura or there's a few really good ones. Korngal is a really good one about Afghanistan, and Restrepo. Those are really, really good real combat footage documentaries about Afghanistan. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to get an actual conversation with a vet. But if you're someone who's fantasizing about some kind of a conflict, I'm saying this as, someone who's very into shooting, who's bought guns, along with a whole bunch of other people who have bought guns recently. But if you're someone who fantasizes about that situation, and isn't someone who's like the Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi teaches the Karate Kid only to be used in self-defense. But if you're in that defense situation, you better, whoever's coming at you better, what? Fuck up and find out, something like that. But if you are, I would suggest that you watch, go on YouTube and watch interviews with Vietnam combat vets talking about their experience, and you can just tell how awful it is. And I can't imagine. I really can't. But that's why it's so fascinating, because you really don't know. It's something that is just so, an experience that's so beyond the pale that you can't even imagine how you could be in, go through that and then come out the other side and try to have some semblance of a normal life. So, and I hope it's something that we're not going to experience. I mean, I'm not naive enough to think that things are going to go back to normal after somebody wins the election, and then, oh, everything with COVID is going to just blow over, and we're going to go back to our lives and everything will be the same. I mean, I know when COVID was first started happening, I was saying what I really hope is that this doesn't become something like 9/11, where we think about our lives pre and post 9/11, that daily life becomes in a lot of ways so different that you can separate a period of an era of your life by, oh, well, that was before 9/11, something like that. But I hope things, I don't think things will go back to normal, but we have a very, very, we've fallen a bit in our quality of life, especially in the past 6 months, 7 months, 8 months now, maybe. But we sure do have a long way to fall still. And I really hope that doesn't happen. So, I mean, you could. It's Syria, things like that. I mean, Syria wasn't necessarily such a huge shithole the way it is now, and you still have people, pictures from a few decades ago where Syria actually looks like it could be a city in Europe or something, with its level of modernity and development. Maybe not even that long ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. maybe a little more. I haven't, my chops aren't up on the Syria conflict recently, but so, well, anyways, I wanted to get an episode out there. I had just finally interviewed Stephen Kinsella for the Liberty Weekly podcast, so I was really excited to release that. I've been meaning to interview him the entire time that I've had the Liberty Weekly podcast. That's been maybe what, like 3 years now, coming up in May or something. So, yeah, pretty interesting, cool milestone. Looking for more people to interview, but I have a really, really incredibly busy 8 days ahead of me, work-wise. I have deposition preps on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then depositions on Thursday and Friday, and the following Monday. And my wife's family is going to be in town this weekend. So it's going to be a really busy stretch of time here, kind of trying to have to probably plan things out in terms of recording content and then setting it to release on the weekend. But today marks one of the days, the first days I switched my hosting, my podcast hosting. I started the Liberty Weekly podcast with Libsyn, and I switched it over to Spotify with to Anchor, just today. And I'm a little nervous about it. I feel like I'm cheating on Libsyn in a way, but it's interesting, big step. So, well, thanks everyone for listening. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode and you've been enjoying the Liberty Weekly podcast. Please subscribe, rate, review, or share this content on your socials with other people who, you know, if I discuss something that you think they might enjoy, I'd really appreciate you showing that over to them. So, thanks and peace out.